Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike. I'm here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
It is.
I'm joined as I am every Monday through Friday by my best friend.
So guys, positive Chuck Mockler.
We got another heck of a show lined up for you today. We got a recap of last night's action, including the big showdown between the Blazers and the Bucks.
Big showdown.
Yeah, our next upcoming opponent. And then we've got a little bit of a hypothetical, our Parallel Universe segment, which if you're a new listener, that's our Wednesday segment where we kind of analyze what could have been.
What could have been?
Things went a little bit differently. and then we're going to wrap up with some general LA team talk, talking about the new uniforms. So all that coming up right now.
And guys, before we get into the NBA team talk, we are super excited to let you know we have a brand new partner to sponsor the show, Metro Infinity, over at 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia.
Is that just off the 210 in Monrovia?
Right off the 210. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been in business for 25 years.
That's impressive.
I can't talk to my family, so I'm truly impressed they can run a whole business. Our favorite parts about this, us antisocial types, if you don't feel like going to the dealership, they will come to your house or place of business with the car, with the paperwork. You can fill it out right in front of your coworkers. Make sure to mention Locked On, and they will give you another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for a new car in general, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you will not regret it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. And they don't just have new cars. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinities as well.
Weird flex, but okay.
Hey, I'll take it. So, kind of sucks there's no real Clippers news today.
Not a big day news-wise. It does look like... I mean, Avery Bradley's going to be out for Thursday.
Yeah, which we will get into in our game preview tomorrow. So we're going to get into some NBA stuff right now. The Mavs banned the Wizards to the Shadow Realm 119-100.
Man, things are so grim for the Wizards right now.
Yeah, we're like, let's say 10 games into the season, and Wizards fans are ready to blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, they're still... it's not terrible. Wall had 24, 4-10. Beal and Otto Porter both had 19 points. I mean, it's nothing to shake a stick at.
Their defense is non-existent, though.
It is. Yeah, there's no communication there. There's no effort.
Yeah. Luka had 23-6. Harrison Barnes, 19-13. Dennis Smith with 19. Wes Matthews had 22. DeAndre had 12 boards. What do the Wizards have to do to save this season? Anything?
Man. Well, it's tough to say. We still are only 10 or maybe 11 games for these two in.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I mean, a trade just has to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they blow it up. I'm not sure. I mean, that's their really only option. The next game we're going to talk about is Nets versus Suns. Maybe has some implications for the Wizards, actually. The Nets blotted out the Suns, 104-82. I was pretty psyched on that one. Chris LeVert contributed 26 to lead the Nets. No one else had more than 15, but it was a pretty even effort with five guys getting into double figures for the Nets.
Always like to see that. DeAndre Ayton had 15-13. Booker, our son, our favorite.
20-8, baby.
Our favorite non-Clipper, 20-8. No one had more than 4 assists.
That was kind of baffling.
Yeah.
It just seems...
So you think a point guard is definitely where they have a deficiency?
I do, and there were some reports earlier that Rozier is kind of unhappy with his playing time for the Celtics, which I don't know what you else would expect if you're Terry Rozier after Kyrie Irving comes back.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they'll go for him. Maybe they'll help the Wizards rebuild with a John Wall trade.
I don't think that would happen.
It might. I don't think it will happen, but it maybe should.
I think if you're the Wizards, the piece that you're probably going to flip is Bradley Beal. And if I'm the Suns, I'm jumping at it.
Oh, really?
I'm jumping at it.
Interesting.
Great player.
And you said you got a hot take in all capital letters here.
Oh, yeah.
They take Jimmy Buckets.
I think they should take Butler. Their defense is terrible.
Yes, it is.
And I think that they take Jimmy Buckets, play him at the three.
That'd be pretty tight.
So
you have a random scrub on the street at the one.
Yeah.
Devin Booker at the two.
Yeah, and Devin Booker taking some time at the one. Why not?
Yeah.
He pulls up from anywhere.
Yeah, just let him
get to the rim. Like, who cares?
That would be an interesting take. You're also a big believer in LeBron should have gone to the Suns.
Oh.
Which we'll get into at some point.
Oh, man.
That's like a whole episode worth of Will pontificating. I like this question you asked. Which of these teams' position would you rather be in?
Yeah,
I'd rather be the Suns.
If you're the Nets or the Suns?
I'd rather be the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets also have a lot of exciting young talent.
The Suns seem
Jared
like they
Allen,
have.
Chris LeVert, and I still like D'Angelo Russell.
I do too, but the Suns seem like they have, I don't know, I guess I like their pieces better. I like DeAndre.
I agree. Is it easier to get a free agent if you're the Nets versus the Suns?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't really even know.
Location-wise, yes.
Locale-wise, yes, but I think pieces-wise, Suns... To me, the Suns have a lot better pieces right now.
I would agree with that. Guys, our next opponent played our other next opponent. The Blazers rolled and smoked the Bucks, 118-103.
That was all me,
that
baby.
That was a pretty good one. Blazers are kind of hitting their stride right before we play them tomorrow night. Giannis had 23-9-6, Middleton with 22-8-6, and Brooke Lopez with 22. Shocked they lost this game with stats from those three guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, they like... Portland was a high-scoring team. McCollum had a season-high 40. I mean, they won, so naturally they were the high-scoring team. If you guys don't know a lot about basketball. Evan Turner added 16-11. McCollum at one point put our baby boy, Dante, the pizza boy DiVincenzo, on skates.
He said it was disrespectful if they had Dante guarding him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he did a pretty good job all game.
Well, 40 points.
A lot of this game...
You sound like a bad coach.
A lot of this game was just a shootout. Like, I don't know. I mean, he did a pretty good job of, like, guarding him. I mean, how much guarding are you doing, though, when someone is, like, is out 30-plus feet
shot.
And just making every shot?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think a little bit of this, like, definitely credit to the Blazers for sure. I think a little bit of this was, though, just like a gunslinger fight and
a war of attrition.
Yeah. And one person, like one team, you know, had a better shooting percentage than the other.
Yeah.
The margins are actually like really slim if you look at the field goal percentages and 3-point percentages for both teams. Something super interesting, actually, about this matchup. Both of these teams have top 5 defensive and offensive ratings.
Hmm.
So I think they're the only two teams that have both, I believe.
Maybe the Warriors?
I don't know if the Warriors have both, but I would believe it.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a bit of a preview for preview for the game tomorrow night. Three early keys for the victory tomorrow night. We have to play big.
Yeah.
We're bigger than they are.
Yeah, we got a big size advantage. I think that we need to utilize post-ups. I mean, obviously they have Nurk, but I just don't think that he has the strength to take any of our guys down low.
And after that, it's like kind of sketchy.
Yeah, definitely. Like Collins. Can you imagine Collins trying to body up on Trez?
Please.
No way.
Or Boban.
And then I've also, from what I've watched of Portland so far, they don't have the best pick and roll defense. They are a little bit slow to switch. So I think once again, like creating mismatches, getting those big guys there.
Yeah, Shea's going to hopefully feast. The second squad is going to have to be good. We're going to see how they do with the backcourt against Evan Turner and Seth Curry. Which it'll probably be against Lou and Milos.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's who will be our
will be interesting.
Unit. Yeah. I mean, you also do have Mike Scott out there. And I think playing against a smaller lineup, he has a little bit more opportunities to drive, take it to the basket, maybe have some more playmaking, and obviously shoot.
So. Yeah. And you're saying foul smart for this third one.
I am. So last night, the Blazers shot for like 62% on their free throws. So I think if you have Dame and McCollum both getting hot, maybe do whatever it takes to cool one of them off. And I'm not talking about hurting anybody. I'm not talking about...
I didn't even think about
I'm
that.
I'm not talking about anything dirty. I'm just talking about, you know...
You can
spare a couple fouls.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting play. We're going to get more in-depth on that tomorrow for you guys. We'll have that preview up for you. Coming up after this, we're going to see what could have been in the Aerolil universe.
What could have been?
So, there was a really interesting tidbit on a broadcast a couple games ago, I think, about how in the 1998 draft, was it 98 or 99?
It was 98.
It was 98. The Clippers were between Mike Bibby and Michael Olowokandi.
Was this a Don McLean take or...
This was a Ralph take.
Okay.
Because Ralph saw the workout for Michael Olowokandi. For those, if you're new to the Clippers, the Clippers took Michael Olowokandi, who is now an investment banker. So that's kind of a read into what his career was like. He was number one, pretty big bust. According to Ralph...
I mean, he still played 7 seasons in the NBA.
Yeah, but the number one pick,
all
that
right.
Sucks. When you were between Mike Bibby... And Michael Olowokandi.
I mean, Bibby only played 7 or 8 seasons.
Yeah, but he was like an all-star and a great player. But Ralph said that the workout for Michael Olowokandi was just like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like it was like the best workout I'd ever seen type thing. But what could have been had we taken Mike Bibby?
You know, hard to say.
Hard to say. I was looking at some numbers, just crunching some of these numbers. The roster still would have been really bad.
It would. I think, well, because he was drafted by the Grizzlies.
Yes.
And I think that they went like, oh man.
They went 8-42. This was the shortened season.
This was a lockout season.
This was the lockout season.
They went 8-42 and we went
9-41.
Yeah.
So like, I think it would have been fairly similar. The leading scorer that year for the Clippers was Maurice Taylor with 17 a game.
All right.
And leading the team in assists was Sherman Douglas with 4. The ball movement was not, the ball was not moving quickly for the 98-99.
This was a sexy period of basketball.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I think the Grizz went 8-42, which is unbelievable. The Clippers ended up getting the number one pick again the next year, and we got Lamar Odom. So I think Bibby averaged 13-6 on a somehow worse Grizzly team that year.
Yeah.
One game worse than us. So let's maybe say the same team. I think we still would have maybe gotten Lamar. I think it would have been Bibby and Lamar after those first 2 years.
I mean, that would be something incredible.
Which would have been awesome. But I think that means we miss out on Darius.
Yeah.
And maybe Q, which really takes away
a huge part of our identity.
An awesome part of the Clippers. Just interesting, though. I think it would have been really cool to see Odom and Bibby. Bibby was clearly already pretty good as a rookie. I mean, 13-6 on a garbage team is pretty impressive.
I mean, he was a pretty integral part to those Sacramento teams.
Yeah, like the most fun basketball of all time. And the Clippers, I don't know if this, because this was kind of one of, this was during a stretch when the Clippers were terrible.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were really fun to watch, and they were kind of back to bad again. I think if we take Mike Bibby, we're maybe a little bit more successful, but I don't think we're as fun to watch.
I agree. You know? I think like not having Q and Darius, I mean, I think that that's a huge detriment to like the Clippers' legacy, to be perfectly honest. I think I'm going to go out on a crazy limb here.
What?
I'm saying if we get Mike Bibby and don't get Q and don't get Darius, we're talking about the OKC Clippers right now.
Wow. I like that take.
Not
I could
here.
See that.
They're gone.
Yeah, because that excitement helped. I mean, those Clippers teams with those guys never made the playoffs.
No.
Which is a shame. But
it was like a flashy.
Everyone loved them.
Yeah. It was like a flashy team that was somehow still like the antithesis of Showtime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
for
it,
sure.
It was just completely different. It was like young guys getting it.
Yeah. And I mean, culturally, it was giant. They were on Jordan when they were like 18 or whatever the hell that was. They had like some of the best selling jerseys. So yeah, I really like that take that they maybe would have moved the Clippers.
Yeah.
Donald Sterling wouldn't have had teenagers to fawn over for their basketball, stuff like that. Maybe more productive. That next year, the Clippers were still pretty bad. We evidently got the number one pick again. But I still think, Lamar Odom and Bibby make us like, they would have made us.
Middling.
Middling.
At best.
A middling fringe team,
yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, not in the playoffs.
No.
One of those teams where it's like, oh, we were the 9 seed. It's our year next year, and then it just never really being their year type.
Yeah, thing. And when I say middling, I'm meaning somewhere between 8-16. Maybe like nipping at the heels of the playoffs, but like still good enough to not get a great draft pick.
Yeah, exactly, which is where a lot of people thought we would be this year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. I think Michael Olowokandi still probably wouldn't, still would be an investment banker in 2018, I think. I don't think his career gets drastically too changed if he goes.
I mean, didn't he? He still averaged like 9 or 10 boards a game over his career. I mean, that's not nothing.
Bah. Get him out of here.
We're talking 90s basketball right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Rebounds are as important.
That's true. Mike Bibby's career, I don't think, would have been as good either had he gone to the Clips.
Follow up.
Yeah.
Would Mike Bibby be as strong as he is now if he had been a Clipper, if he had been drafted by the Clippers?
I think he would. I think he would have gotten busted for HGH earlier, and he would have been out of the league. If you haven't seen a picture of Mike Bibby,
just search Mike Bibby in Google. It'll pop up in the.
It will literally punch through your computer screen when you look at this image. He's a giant human. But yeah, I don't think his career goes as well if he goes to the Clippers. No disrespect to the Clippers. I just think he doesn't end up going to Sacramento and being part of some of the most beautiful fluid basketball ever played.
Yeah,
not to. I guess maybe going out on a limb right there. Anything else you want to say about what could have been in this parallel universe?
I got a quick what could have been.
Yeah.
And it's a what could have been in the future. So it's more of an parallel universe.
Oh, dude, you're blowing my mind.
But what would you trade to take Zion Williams, to get the possibility of a first round pick to take Zion Williams. And sorry, if nobody watched the Duke
he looks really
game
good
last night, it looks insane.
So yeah, with the new format, we'd still have the same chances of the bottom three teams. So you're saying we're taking one of the bottom three teams' pick,
mm-hmm.
which all have an even chance of getting the first round pick or the first pick. Man, I would trade after one game, I would trade.
And this is not a guarantee either. It's a chance.
No, for sure. Yeah. I guess it would have to be Lou and Gallo.
Wow.
That's it.
To the Suns?
Yeah, sure.
sure.
One of the three teams. Yeah.
wow.
What about you?
Lou and Gallo.
We just can't lose any more than that, or else it becomes not a net pot. You know, like. Because in my mind, Zion takes Gallo's spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to play him at the like the three or the four, I think.
You play
him. He's still only 6'6". Maybe he could hit a growth spurt.
Yeah.
But.
What do you give up?
So I'm willing to give up Sindarius. And
okay. Whoa, for the number one pick?
Sindarius, Jerome Robinson, and man, I'm not willing to give up Lou just because Lou is still such a ready contributor, but I mean, I guess if you're thinking long-term, I'd go, so those two, because they're on rookie contracts, which I still think is favorable.
Yeah, so far you're fleecing whoever's trading this.
oh man, this is a great deal. Pick. And, man, I really don't know who else I want to give up. I'll throw a Boban at him, and...
You're a shrewd GM, dude. No one's doing business with you. You're Thibodeau.
And you can also have Beverly and Bradley.
You're giving up five.
I'm giving up an entire squad, essentially, for one player.
For one guy? Well, I hope it works out for you and your team, sir. That's insane. You and I both had such different opposite ends of the spectrum. I think somewhere in the middle is probably the right answer. That's a good one. Zion Williamson, check him out. Friend of the pod. Coming up, we're going to talk about just some Clippers culture talk. There's not a lot of Clippers news today, so we're going to get into kind of how the team is shaping up so far. But first, guys, if you're not following Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram, what are you doing? You get all the Locked On Podcast Network local information super quickly for the NFL and the NBA and the new college teams. It's fantastic during games for breaking news to get the local perspective. On Instagram compared to Twitter, you'll get a little longer stuff thanks to the Instagram stories and whatnot. Make sure to follow Locked On Net on both Twitter and Insta. So this is kind of a random segment. It's Clippers culture talk.
All right. I'm here for it.
The new City Edition jerseys came out. Or they were released. The picture was released yesterday.
Yeah.
For those, I'm going to try and best to paint this picture for you. It seems to be a deep navy.
Oh, I thought it was black.
I'm going to say deep navy.
Okay.
Is it black? I think it's deep navy. Deep navy, maybe black, with kind of an old LA Gear style logo with LA in big letters.
Yeah, it's a fast logo.
It is a fast logo. It's like, yeah, it's like LA is moving a little too quick for an old picture.
Yeah.
In a good way. And then just the number underneath. No Clippers or anything else on there.
Yeah, and there's like red piping accents on the side and white down like the down both the sides with like stars up it.
Yes, it's a very generic jersey, but I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, so that's kind of been people have been ripping on it a little bit,
yeah.
That it looks like when a movie can't afford the rights to a real professional sports team.
Which is very funny and kind of true.
So I guess the whole thing is a riff on the 1984 Olympics logo,
mm-hmm.
which is a big thing for LA. Let me say what I don't like about it first.
For sure.
I'll get into what I don't like about it first. I still am not crazy about the font that we're using for the numbers.
You think it's a little too digital clocky?
It's a nitpicky thing, but yeah, it's like...
I don't think that's nitpicky.
You know what I would like, though, is maybe if they went more digital clocky and it was like the segmented lines.
You should look up the Tampa Bay Bucks jerseys.
Okay.
They have a very similar thing to that.
I kind of like, if we're going in that direction, I say...
All the way.
All the way.
For sure.
I don't like the stars down the side.
That feels a little cheesy.
I feel like it's, and I feel like that part is generic. Like
yeah.
That part to
stars
me.
Stars in general are generic.
Yeah.
It's a generic tattoo. It's a generic thing to put on a jersey.
Yeah. And I think like maybe, I don't know, a skyline on the side.
Skyline would be cool.
Giant
ship.
Yeah. Maybe it could just say Hollywood up the sides.
That would be cool. That would be tight.
I guess that's about all that I don't like.
From a marketing perspective, I like it because I think they made this jersey so people who like to rep LA will buy this jersey.
Yeah.
It literally only says LA on it.
So that's what I like about it, is that we're putting the city front and forward versus just the franchise.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, and like the last one, the San Diego ones from last year were beautiful.
Oh, the nautical jerseys.
Yeah, the nautical jerseys.
I still really like those.
I loved those. But I really like these too. It's a nice, I don't know, it doesn't feel fresh, but I like it.
No, and I haven't seen the back. We haven't seen the backs yet, so we don't know what the names are going to look like. But I love the logo.
And there's an homage to Ralph Lauren on the tag, which is wonderful.
Which you have to love.
Yeah. So now that we've gotten our fashion out of our system, the chemistry seems good right now for the Clippers.
Yeah.
For the most part. Except for Gortat retweeting Clipper Daryl.
Yeah.
And having that he loves haters in his bio.
How old is he?
It's not 2002, dude. Like, does he wear an I Heart Haters shirt to bed?
Probably.
He's got a big old like a sleep shirt that says
I Heart Gortat
Haters.
The most basic Clipper?
Yeah. 100%. He also says he's like a jet ski enthusiast on his Twitter bio.
So, yeah.
So, at this point, who do you see getting traded? And how
is
bigly
this,
would that
be? Who do I see getting traded, or who do I want to see traded?
Who do you see getting traded?
Honestly, I'm not seeing a big move happening.
I was thinking about that this morning when I was writing this out. I was like, I don't really know. All I can see is maybe Milos to the Suns.
For what?
I don't know.
Like a second rounder?
Sure. Like, I'm just not... They need a point guard. He knows their coach. Like, it makes sense. I'm not saying it's like there hasn't been chatter or anything like that. I would know if there was some chatter. I'm addicted to
chatter. Does Arizona make any tangible products that we could get in exchange?
Oh, yeah. Have we talked about this on the pod before?
I don't think we have.
So I'm a big believer. There's all these old stories about trades where like people would be traded for like a box of donuts in the MLB and stuff like
when
that.
When owners were just insane.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we should bring that back. I think like, you know, say the Clippers wanted a second round pick from the Nets or something.
Yeah.
And the Nets owner's like, man, I just love those Ludo Bird sandwiches you guys have at Staples Center. And we're like, well, we'll throw in this guy and 650 Ludo Bird chicken sandwiches.
And now, are these made to order or this is a bulk sum?
So here's the thing. That's not my... I don't have to figure that out. That's a negotiation. That's for the lawyers to decide. Ideally, it's a bulk sum when you ship them in a big bag.
So you get a bunch of stale sandwiches.
Well, they're not stale. You know, they're in a nice food container or something like that inside of the bag. Anyway, I don't think Arizona makes any food that we could trade. Is there an Arizona dog? It's just like a bunch of fire ants on a hot dog.
Don't they make gems or something?
I don't know. Doesn't nature make gems?
Quilts?
Yeah, we'll take them for some quilts. No, but I think Milos might be the only one to get traded. But yeah, I don't think any... I think you're right. I think there's not going to be maybe any big moves yet.
I also don't really see the value in it, especially, I mean, since we're a team with cap space, you know, mm-hmm. heading into this offseason.
We're not taking anybody on.
Yeah, why make a trade when we could just wait and sign some people? I think we should wait and see how that shakes out.
Yeah, I think we were both pretty big on maybe making a trade even like a week and a half ago about what was going to happen with certain pieces.
Yeah.
But Bradley's been playing a little bit better, kind of. I hope his ankle injury gets better. Because that seems detrimental if we are going to end up moving something or something like that.
Definitely.
I have under here guys who for sure should be moved, and I wrote Gortat. Just because he doesn't seem good for the locker room, dude.
Yeah, I wrote the same thing.
Yeah, like, I don't like that.
No.
I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, do we know the status on that?
No, I think it's just I don't know. We know that it's nice to know that the Avery Bradley will not be playing tomorrow night. So presumably Shea's going to start. Luke and Mbamute also not playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But Doc says he will be back soon.
I mean,
fairly ominous, but I guess it's positive.
Yeah.
Ominousity. Do you think this is the best meshed Clippers team in terms of chemistry since like the Darius Miles, Q, and Lamar days? Like they enjoy being around each other?
I want to say yes. That's just what it seems like to me.
Yeah. It feels like such a more... These guys are excited to be like to show up, it seems like, instead of kind of the Lob City era when it was like, hey, we know we're good, but we're good kind of in spite of the fact that we don't really like each other.
Yeah.
I know CP3 and Blake had that terrible cartoon or that Adult Swim show.
But I never saw it.
It was not very good. But yeah, these guys seem like they really like each other.
Yeah. And I guess the worry for me is because I'm like always pessimistic, but I think that this this gang of guys, like everything's going really well. And I think that like a lot of winning or a lot of losing could easily change that balance. So like we might have to reassess this chemistry relationship like in the off season.
For sure.
But like right now, they're kind of, what's the phrase? Like playing with house money. I feel like no one really expected that much of them.
Yeah, we're 6-4.
Yeah. We've had a very hard stretch of games. So I definitely feel like it's a similar situation to last year where like we're not really being talked about at all, but performing really well.
Yeah.
And I think when the pressure gets turned on, and I mean in either direction, like whether we start losing a lot or maybe start overachieving a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I think that things could get a little bit different. Does that make sense?
For sure. And I think one of the guys who's going to help us with that the most is going to be Trez. Because Trez seems like he has this image in his head that no matter what is happening, we have to prove people wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's going to be key. And we have a lot of consummate professionals.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is nice. The next two games, Blazers and Bucks, those are hard games.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see some nice perseverance tests, I guess, for the guys.
I mean, we'll talk about this later in the preview, but I am kind of more worried about that Bucks game than the Blazers game.
I am too, because I think Giannis is going to absolutely maybe go for like 50, 17, and 12.
Yeah,
or something like that.
It's a hard matchup for us.
But tomorrow, guys, we're going to have the game preview against the Trail Blazers. That game is in Portland, unfortunately for us, as well as our weekly segment, Thirsty Thursdays. What we want to see more of, who we want to see more of, what we're thirsty for.
Yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.